Well, thank you to the team at the back, and thank you also to Tom Jennings, who made that animation for me. Well, we're continuing in our Worship Together services to learn about and to learn from some of the people that Jesus met. And today, as we've already seen, we're in John chapter 9. So can I encourage you to have your Bibles open, if you've got one with you, so that we can keep track of what we're learning today. But before we do anything else, let me pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it opens our blind eyes, and we ask that you'd help us to see glorious things about you and Jesus today. Amen. Well, as we've just seen, Jesus was walking along in Jerusalem when he saw a man who had been blind from birth. He had never, ever seen anything. Now, what would you miss most if you couldn't see? Perhaps think about it, talk to the people you're sitting with. What would you miss most? Okay, I hope you all had some ideas. This man had never seen anything but darkness. He'd never seen the moon and the stars or the sunshine in the sky. He'd never seen mountains, that's what I'd miss. He'd never see rivers and valleys and lush green fields. He would never have seen beautiful gardens with flowers and trees. And he would never, ever have seen the faces of his family or his friends. He had never seen anything. But Jesus saw him sitting there. And when Jesus saw him, Jesus' disciples asked Jesus a question. They said, "Jesus, who has caused this to happen? Who sinned? Was it him? Or was it his parents?" And we might think that's a really strange question. But the rabbis, the teachers of the day, they did teach that if somebody was suffering or they were ill, they must have sinned. And sometimes that is true, isn't it? Sometimes, maybe you might have suffered by having to sit on the naughty step. If you've done something wrong or you weren't listening to something at home. Or maybe you've suffered because you've had extra homework or detention because you weren't paying attention at school. Maybe you've suffered by breaking something, by hurting yourself, by not listening to the rules and paying attention in sport. Sometimes we do suffer because of things that we've done. But it is not true that all suffering comes because we have sinned. However, the Bible does make it clear that until Adam and Eve sinned, there was no suffering in the world. It was a perfect world. But when they sinned, the world became broken. And ever since then, sadly, we and the whole of creation, even those of us that believe and trust in God, do suffer in different ways. And when we suffer, we ask, why? Why me? Why is this happening? Why is it happening to me? And the answer is the same as Jesus gave the disciples in verse 3. Take a look at what it says. Jesus said, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God may be shown in his life." And then Jesus goes on to do the work of God. He heals him. He gives the man some medicine for his eyes. Now, it's not sterile eye drops that you would expect made specially for eyes, is it? It's dust from the ground and spit, and it's mixed together to make mud, and then it's plastered on the man's eyes. What very strange thing to do. How is that going to help? And then Jesus sends the man away to wash. And that seems ridiculous, doesn't it? Why didn't Jesus just heal him by speaking like he had done to so many people? Why does he do that? And why does he send the man away? Well, opening the man's eyes is just part of what Jesus was doing. And actually, it wasn't the most important part. At the beginning of the service, we read those wonderful words from Isaiah, didn't we? Which told us what the Messiah would do when he came, God's promised king. And amongst other things, he would make lame men walk. Those of you that were with us last week, that's what we learnt about last week. And he's also, the Messiah is also going to help blind men see. And in the previous chapter, in John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus says that he is the light of the world, and that those who follow him would have the light of life. You see, there's physical sight and there's spiritual sight. Jesus had healed the man's physical sight. He can now see, and that is absolutely fantastic. But what about his spiritual sight? Does he know who Jesus is? Does he know what Jesus came to do? Does he have eternal life? Not yet. Not yet. You see, he's not even seen Jesus. He doesn't know who it was that healed him. He couldn't pick Jesus up out of a lineup. Spiritually, he is still blind to who Jesus is. And we too are naturally spiritually blind to God and to Jesus. We're spiritually blind to know how to have a relationship with them and how to trust in Jesus. And just as the man needed Jesus to do a miracle to open his physical eyes, he also needs Jesus to do a miracle to open his spiritual eyes. And we all need that miracle too. The miracle of God to heal us of our spiritual blindness, to open up our eyes to who Jesus is. And we'll think about that a little bit more later on.
The second half of the reading is from John chapter 9, verses 13 to 41. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight.
He put mud on my eyes and I washed and now I see.
Some of the Pharisees said,
this man is not from God. He does not keep the Sabbath.
But others asked,
how can a sinner perform such signs?
So they were divided. Then they turned again to the blind man.
What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened.
He is a prophet.
They still did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents.
Is this your son? Is this the one you say was born blind? How can he now see?
His parents answered,
we know he's our son. And we know he was born blind. But how he can see now, or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Ask him. He's of age. He'll tell you himself.
His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders, who already had decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "Ask. He is of age. Ask him." A second time they summoned the man who had been blind.
Give glory to God by telling the truth. We know this man is a sinner.
Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. But this one thing I do know. I was blind, but now I see.
What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?
I've told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?
Then they hurled insults at him and said,
you are this fellow's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from.
Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing.
You were steeped in sin from birth. How dare you lecture us?
And they threw him out. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found him, he said,
"Do you believe in the Son of Man?"
"Who is he, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him."
"You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you."
"Lord, I believe."
And he worshipped him.
"For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind."
Some Pharisees who were with him heard him say this and asked,
"What, are we blind too?"
"If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim that you can see, your guilt remains."
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, thank you all very much. Divide my man in half. So, the man can see physically, but he is still spiritually blind. He goes home. His neighbours are there. His neighbours are confused. They say, "Is he the same guy?" "Can't be. Looks a bit like him. Must be his twin. Really can't be the same guy." But he insists, I am the man who was blind. A man called Jesus came, he put mud on my eyes, he told me to go and wash, and now I can see. And of course they ask, "Where is Jesus?" And of course the man doesn't know. He doesn't even know what Jesus looks like. All he knows is that there is a man called Jesus. That's right. But it isn't only his neighbours who are confused. The Pharisees, they get involved. They want to know lots of things. They ask lots of questions. How was he healed? When was he healed? Who healed him? They interview him. They interview his parents to check that it really was him, that he really had been blind before. And the man who was blind tells them about Jesus and the mud. And if you look in verse 17, the man says now that Jesus must be a prophet, because he did a miracle. The man is beginning to open his eyes a little bit to who Jesus is. He's beginning to see a little bit more clearly who Jesus is. Well, the Pharisees don't like that at all. They say they know exactly who Jesus is. They can see really clearly who Jesus is. He's a sinner, because he broke the law. He made mud on the Sabbath. They're not thankful to God for an amazing miracle. They're just furious that it happened on the Sabbath. So they interview the man again. And again he says, "I don't know how it happened. All I know is I was blind, but now I can see." And if you look at verse 33, he now tells them that because that happened, Jesus must be from God. His eyes are opening wider. While the Pharisees are still outraged, they say they know about Moses, they know all about the law, they don't know anything about Jesus, they don't know where he comes from. They are closing their eyes to who Jesus is. They cannot see clearly who Jesus is. They don't understand, and they don't know that Jesus is the man, the prophet from God. So they intimidate the man who used to be blind. They insult him, and then finally they throw him out of the temple where he could worship God. But wonderfully, then he meets Jesus. Jesus goes to find him because he hears that the man has been thrown out of his community. But does the man know who he's talking to? No. because he's never seen Jesus before. Now, many years ago, my husband was very ill and had life-saving surgery in hospital. And I'd spoken to the surgeon many times over the weeks following surgery, but Mark had always been in a coma. Well, after a few weeks, the surgeon went to visit him to see for himself Mark's amazing recovery. But they weren't introduced, and Mark just assumed it was just another doctor coming to check up on him. And he never realized who the guy was, and he never thanked him for saving his life. Well, the blind man here doesn't realize that he is talking to Jesus, to the man who has saved his life. And Jesus asks him, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" which is one of the Old Testament names for Jesus. And the man who used to be blind says, "Well, I would if I knew who he was." And Jesus says, "You are speaking to him. In fact, you are looking at him." And then the man calls Jesus Lord, and he worships him. For the very first time, the man sees Jesus face to face. And he sees Jesus not with just his eyes, but he sees him with his mind and his heart and his whole being. His eyes are opened spiritually to call Jesus Lord and to worship him. Well, what about the Pharisees? Jesus has a shocking message for them. Did you hear it? In verse 39, it said, "For judgment I've come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." How the Pharisees act make this a really sad story. The people who should have been most excited about seeing God at work couldn't see it. They should have known what to expect because of the prophecies. The Pharisees claimed many times, we heard it loads of times in our reading, that they knew, they understood, they could see. But in fact, they couldn't see at all. They couldn't see what was blindingly obvious. They couldn't see what was right in front of their eyes. The Pharisees were blind to who Jesus was. And tragically, they concluded that he was a sinner. At the beginning of the chapter, we heard that question, didn't we, about whether being physically blind was related to sin. And Jesus said no. But here Jesus says that being spiritually blind is related to sin. The Pharisees were blind because they refused to see the truth about Jesus. They thought that they could see. They believed they'd got it all worked out for themselves. They thought their own ideas were just perfect. So they didn't look to Jesus, they didn't listen to Jesus, and they didn't learn from him. And that can be a real danger for us too. We might think that we know who Jesus is, what he's like. We might think we've worked it all out for ourselves and our ideas are just right. So we don't look to Jesus and we don't listen to him, and we certainly don't learn from him. And how would we know if we are like that? Well, how long is it since we've read something in the Bible which has changed our minds, our attitudes, or our behavior? Because if we're not looking to Jesus and changing to be more like him, then we're becoming blinder and blinder like the Pharisees. So can I encourage all of us, whatever age we are, to look at the evidence for ourselves, to look to find out about Jesus. Come and see who he is. But when we're willing to admit that our ideas aren't always right and that we need help to see who Jesus is, then he will do a miracle in our lives too. He will open up our eyes spiritually, just like the man who had been blind. And then we will see what God is like. And wonderfully, many of us have done that. And we do call Jesus Lord, and we do worship him, and we do give him great praise for the miracle that he's done in our lives. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, for the Messiah, the one who has promised for all eternity. Thank you that he has come into the world and he has changed lives. He has opened eyes to see who you are. Thank you for the many miracles that you have wrought through Jesus, even in St. Mary's, of people who've come to see you for who you are. And Father, we pray that there would be many more miracles still to come in this town as people see who Jesus is for themselves. Amen.